for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's the 5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show. Cardinals lose to the Patriots 2017. A truly frustrating performance by the Cardinals has a lot of Cardinal fans angry. They're angry at Zane. They're angry at Kyler Murray and his inability to run the football. They're angry about a whole, but they're angry at Isaiah Simmons for a late hit that may or may not have been called or should have been called. Cam Newton getting out and running on that third down. And they're also very angry at Cliff Kingsbury for a couple of reasons. They're angry at him, Gambo, for the decision to not kick the field goal at the end of the first half and go for it on fourth and goal.
A decision I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Yeah,
none whatsoever. Thought it was the right play. They also take issue with something you've really expressed a lot of consternation about, and that is at the end, after Drake Kirkpatrick's interception, the inability to dial up plays that kill more clock, that picks up more first downs, that gives you the true opportunity to win that football game. It continues. The late game play calling and decision making continues to be a real thorn in the side for the Cardinals under their second year head coach who's got 27 games of NFL experience under his belt.
Listen, there's ways you define this, okay? You're not asking Cliff at the end of the games with 8 minutes left and say, oh, milk that 8 minutes. It's impossible. 7 minutes. Extremely hard. 6 minutes, 5 minutes. Okay, I get it. Now, it's also not 2 minutes. I mean, under 2 minutes is easy, right? Under 2 minutes is easy. You can milk a clock under 2 minutes, run some plays, they'll call their timeouts. I mean, 2 minutes. What you're asking them to do is with four and a half minutes left to not give the ball back to the other team. And that takes a little bit of coaching, a couple of good play calls. You know, you don't need to go 10 plays in 75 yards. Nobody's asking you not to go down 70, but you gotta go. You have to have enough yards and enough plays to not give them the ball back. And again, with 6, 7, 8 minutes left, nobody's saying that you've got to milk it there because that's hard. But with 2 minutes, it's easy. So the magic area is that 3 to 4.5 minute range. You know, sure. That's where you've got to be a good coach. 3 to 4.5 minutes. Under 3 minutes, I think it becomes easier. Over 5 minutes, it's harder. But 3 to 4.5 minutes, good coaching with good play calling and smart players will be able to use up the clock where the other team doesn't get the ball back. And Cliff is having a really hard time with this.
Yeah, he's having a really hard time, again, just kind of developing the feel for how these late games situations should work. Against Miami, he was being very, very conservative. Against Seattle, he was being very, very aggressive. And he continues to really struggle to find kind of the sweet spot in between those two. I mean, as you've said it, and I don't disagree with it, the play before Zane Gonzalez misses the 45-yard field goal. And none of this, by the way, is to take responsibility off of Zane. That's a field goal he's got to hit. But the play before Zane Gonzalez hits that field goal is a 3rd and 2 with Kenyon Drake running to the left, and he gets stuffed. There are several other options at that point that I would feel better about, that you would feel better about. That's not Kenyon Drake running to the left on a play that didn't look like it had a whole lot of chance to succeed. Even yesterday, in the moment, during the game, the Fox announcers were like, man, if Kyler just keeps the ball, chances are pretty good he's going to be able to get the edge to the right side based off of who was there in that moment. I mean, you're only talking about a couple of yards here, and yet the choice was to give it to Drake. The choice was to set up that situation. And once again, it was a late-game call that did not work out for the Arizona Cardinals, and it feels like there have been a lot of those the last month or so.
I'm just surprised that this offensive genius in Cliff Kingsbury has such a basic play for a big down like that, you know? Now, I'm not looking for a flea flicker, okay? I'm not looking for the Statue of Liberty. But I'm looking for something that gets you those 2 yards, man. You've got to have a couple of plays. And it can't be that, okay, Cliff's top plays for 3rd and 2 late-game situation can't be hand the ball to the running back. It can't be. Like, it's just, hey, Cliff, I'm going to pick your brain. You know, I'm a college coach. What's your best play on third and two late game when you really need to have it? Oh, I got a great play for you. I hand the ball to the running back. No, seriously, what's your best? No, that's my play. That's my go-to right there. I mean, I could have hired anybody to make that call. Anybody. And any vanilla, you know, Joe Schmo coach I could hire to do that. I can't imagine you going to Cliff Kingsbury and saying, I need a play that I had on third and two that's going to work. And he says, hand the ball to the running back. So it doesn't make any sense. Like, it just doesn't make, there's no rhyme or reason to that decision in that moment right there.
Here's Cliff with Bickley and Marotta today on the third down play to Drake at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, it was a run on the third that we really liked and you know, weren't able to get it, wanted to keep the clock running, make them burn a timeout, knowing that I think they passed for under 100 yards the entire game and wanted them, you know, if we do make the field goal to have to drive, you know, with no timeouts and get in position to tie it. And I have a lot of confidence in Bane. Like I said last night, it's unfortunate that the ball didn't go through. But in that position, I felt like we were going to make the field goal and leave them with no timeouts and then having to drive the field.
Now, where I don't have an issue, and I know you don't either, is at the end of the first half, choosing to go forward on fourth and goal from the one. I was fine with that. You get a touchdown there.
The game.
Yeah, you get a touchdown at the end of the first half. You're up 17-7. You get the ball to start the second half. You have a, you know, I don't know if that Patriots offense, well, they scored 20 yesterday. I don't know if they're capable of beating you if you put a 17 spot up in the first half. The problem I have in the first half is that sometimes, Gambo, and we've talked about this a lot, especially last week, sometimes we talk about, you know, is it the play caller or is it the players running the play that is called? And at the end of the first half, to me, it wasn't the play caller. Christian Kirk's got to hold on to that ball on second down.
Yep.
All right.
You got to catch that ball.
You know, and what happens is when he doesn't catch that ball, and then Cliff decides to go for it on fourth down, and Kenyon Drake gets stuffed at the goal line. Now the whole conversation becomes about Cliff's decision to go for it on fourth down, and that's a mistake. The conversation needs to be about why Christian Kirk, who's going to be your number two wide receiver, he's already basically your number two wide receiver, how your number two guy on a simple slant on a ball that hits him right in the hands, you've got to make that catch. It must be done. NFL wide receivers have to make that catch. But when he drops it, now all of a sudden it becomes about Keyshawn Johnson, and was the knee down or did the ball break the plane? And it becomes Cliff, and on fourth down, should he have gone for it? Should he have taken the points and kicked the field goal? Man, if Christian Kirk just does his job, all of that becomes irrelevant. It becomes all moot, but he didn't. And that's where the conversation to me swings between the play that is called and the decision that is made to the execution of that play and how it's got to be better. Christian Kirk had to be better in that moment.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of these every week, right? Dan Arnold should have caught that ball. Patrick Peterson should have caught those interceptions that were right in his hands. You know, Fitz has to hold on to that ball and not let it pop up for an interception. It just seems like every week, you know, there's that one or two plays like, oh, my God, I understand that. That's football, right? But that's a difference maker, right? You know, you got make a play is what we talk. Just make a play, right? It's a difference between these games are all close. These games are all close. So when these games come down to you know, one score or less, yeah, you dissect it all these different ways. The end of the first half, the Kirk not holding on to the ball, the decisions by Cliff and Kyler, and it just, you know, Cam Newton on 3rd and 13 getting a 15-yard gain. And it's, yeah, I mean, you know, if you win or lose by three touchdowns, you don't break it down the way we're breaking it down because the game was just so close.
Yeah, it's a do your job thing. And look, Zane Gonzalez, the fact that he failed to do his job in the moment that he did is going to get a lot more attention because it was at the end of the game. But to me, Christian Kirk not catching that ball on second down is just as much of a failure of the do your job mantra as it is with Zane Gonzalez at the end of the game. I mean, you got to do better if you're Christian Kirk. You got to have that catch. And then who knows what we're talking about today if that catch is made. But yeah. At the end of the game, we're 27 games in, and Cliff Kingsbury still doesn't really have the touch at the end of these games, does he now?
Not yet. And, you know, people are starting to run out of patience with that because this is, you know, a few times now where you get to these last few minutes of the football game, and he's failing. He's failing, okay? He's failing to get the points. He's failing to close the game out with the clock. He's giving the ball back to the opponents with too much time. You know, all the things you're not supposed to do. And again, I'll just continue to go back to that. I mean, I just expect from an offensive from a defensive guy, maybe, yeah, run the ball. But from a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, man, I just can't believe that that's, you know, that's what he's got. Again, I don't need anything super fancy. But I would imagine that Cliff's got several plays that he feels are really good on third and two in that situation. He didn't run any of them. He decided to hand the ball to the running back.
Yeah. When we come back on this Big Red Monday, for the most part, the Cardinals defense outstanding yesterday against New England with one very noteworthy, crucial exception. And we'll tell you what it is coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Snap to Newton. He's just going to take it running left, but he's got running room at the 40. Heads for the sideline. Gets drilled by Simmons on the far side of the 46, and a flag comes down. Newton got the first down, and Simmons hit him late. That's going to put the ball in Cardinal territory. There's pushing and shoving after the play. Might there be more flags?
That's the one play. The one play. Other than that, bravo to the Cardinals defense, man, yep. Because the New England Patriots, 179 yards of offense, 3.5 yards per play. Cam was 9 of 18 for 84 yards through two interceptions. Cardinals won the turnover battle. They won time of possession. They ran nearly 20 more plays. I mean, the defense, other than that one moment, 3rd and 13 with the game on the line and overtime staring you dead in the face, and they allow Cam Newton to run for that 15-yard gain, and the very it should have been called a foul, but Isaiah Simmons, at the same time, shouldn't have put himself in a position to give the referee something to think about in that moment. And because of that one play, the Patriots were able to put themselves in a position to hit the game-winning 50-yarder, and they win 2017.
Look, the Cardinals got an interception in the first half. They got an interception in the second half, so they got some takeaways. Right, you had some sacks, you had some takeaways, you know, you had a sack by Devondre Campbell, you had a sack by Isaiah Simmons, you had the interception by Golden, the interception by Trey Kirkpatrick. Yeah, the defense was fine, man. The defense was fine. I had one play, you know, unfortunately the offense didn't do anything, and so if the defense makes a mistake, which they did, it gets magnified because the offense wasn't able to do anything all game long. But overall, I mean, the defense is outplaying the offense. The defense right now is playing better than the offense is. And they did a good job. I mean, Cam Newton was, as all these stats about, I don't really go into it a whole lot, but all these stats about, you know, the lowest quarterback rating and all of this stuff to ever win a football game. Yeah, they did nothing. They got short fields because of turnovers by Kyle, by the Cardinals, and right. Special teams. Special teams gave them great field position, and that's how New England got their points. The Cardinals gifted them field position.
You know, it's weird. I was thinking about this morning, I think. I know the three players on the COVID reserve list right now for the Cardinals are obviously Larry Fitzgerald, Trent Sherfield, and Deontay Thompson, right? And, of course, when Fitz goes down, I mean, that was a huge, huge story. You and I were both off for the Thanksgiving break, but that comes down. If we'd been on the air, that would have been an incredibly huge story. I think you can make an argument. This is nothing against Fitz, by the way. But you can almost make an argument that of those three players that I just mentioned, the most impactful one to be on that list and not be available yesterday was Trent Sherfield. Given how poorly the Cardinals did on special teams, they were awful, 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 awful yesterday on special teams with the field position. You can make the argument that of those three, Sherfield was the one they missed the most yesterday based off of how that game was won or lost. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would say so, right? Because, you know, the one return was, what, 53 yards?
Yep.
On that one return. The other return, that was a touchdown. I mean, you had a penalty. It was a terrible call. It was a very clean block to me. That would have been a touchdown. So, yeah, special teams is very undervalued, right? We don't put a lot of stock into it, but it makes a big difference. And yesterday, special teams for the Patriots was fantastic. So, yeah, you missed Sherfield, the gunner, Of course. That's a factor. We talk about Cam, we talk about Kyler, we talk about Cliff, but special teams was a big reason why the New England Patriots won that football game yesterday.
Field position, you mentioned it. Three drives that resulted in 17 points started at the Arizona 46, at the Arizona 49, at the Arizona 31. One was the kickoff return, one was the punt return, and then one was the Kyler interception to Adrian Phillips. Those three drives all started in Arizona territory, some of them deep in Arizona territory. They led directly to 17 points. But back to the end of the game, Cam Newton on the 3rd and 13. The frustrating part about that one moment for the defense was that that was the most predictable outcome in terms of how the Patriots would try to pick up that first down in that moment. Cam couldn't throw the ball, didn't know where the ball was going. 50% completion throughout the duration of the game, only 82 yards. Like you said earlier, if he's going to beat you throwing the ball 13 yards in the air, you tip your cap, you move on. You can't give him a lane like that to run for 15 yards on a 3rd and 13 when that's basically the only way he's been able to beat you all day long. That was a major mistake by the Cardinals.
Yeah, there's two things I'm thinking there, right? If I got the ability to talk to the defense, one, no penalties, right? I mean, don't give them a first down on a holding penalty. No personal fouls, no pass interference, no hitting the quarterback, no penalties. That's the first thing you got to make sure you do on 3rd and 13. Don't take a stupid penalty that gives him an automatic first down. That's one. And number two, Cam's big and he's strong and he's fast. And he's got the ability to beat you with his legs too. Don't let that happen. Anything else, we'll live with. I mean, if he throws a pass and it goes for 15 yards, okay, that's good. I mean, not good, but, you accept it because that's the one way you can afford, you can get beat and live with it. But you can't get beat when he runs for 15 yards because that's the one thing that he has as a weapon. He was terrible all game throwing the football. He had no accuracy.
Yeah, that's the only thing he's good at. Be better at accounting for the only thing that he's good at, and don't just give it to him. And then there was the penalty on Isaiah Simmons. Now, Cliff today with Bickley and Murata talking to Isaiah Simmons, because he didn't just have that penalty. Remember, he had the helmet penalty earlier in the game where he led with his helmet.
Yeah, that's tough because you want him to be aggressive, and both of those could have gone either way, honestly. And I think even the officials would probably say that after reviewing both calls. But they're going to protect the quarterbacks in this league no matter how big and physical they are. And we understand that, so we just have to be smart in those situations.
Now, look, and that's the key phrase. We have to be smart in those situations. And I thought, even though it wasn't a penalty on Isaiah Simmons, I don't think it was. I don't think you think it was. Mike Pereira didn't think it was in the moment. And on with Doug and Wolf today, said there should be no foul there. He was inbounds. He didn't lead with his helmet. But at the same time, if you're Isaiah Simmons, you have to be a little smarter about not tempting the referees to throw a flag in that moment, right? And the way he leveled Cam and the proximity to the sideline, he's tempting the referees and giving them a reason to throw it there when a simple push out of bounds would have done exactly the same thing without providing that same temptation level. But you level him like that, and you're almost asking for it in today's NFL if you make a play like that in that moment. Shouldn't have been called, but it's almost like you're asking for it in that moment when you could have gone about it in an entirely different way.
Look, I could also, I can maybe even live with that if that's early in the game. You want to send a statement, you want to hit the quarterback, you want to make him think for the rest of the game that you guys, that you're coming after him, that you're physical. Okay. I mean, maybe I could deal with that 15-yard penalty in the first quarter. But at the end of the game, you're not sending any statement at the end of the game. It's just, he's going out of bounds. You just put your hand out. He's not trying to run through you. He's not going to take the risk of fumbling the football, trying to crash into you. He's going to get out of bounds. So it was, whether it was a penalty or not in people's eyes, it was just something that was unnecessary. You didn't need to do it.
Yeah, I've sort of equated it to like a baseball moment when you're down to your last strike, man. You don't want to go down looking. If it's close, even if it's outside a little bit, you still need to take a hack at it because you don't want to go down with the bat on your shoulder. And it's sort of, that's a close play. Don't give 15 yards to them on a close play like that when it could have been avoided. And it could have been, but shouldn't have been called. I mean, he was clearly inbounds. He was clearly not leading with his head on that play, and it added to the problems for yesterday. But other than that, I mean, the defense, I thought, played really, really, really well, and it's too bad they didn't get rewarded with something else. When we come back, even with their loss to the Patriots yesterday, the Cardinals, as of right now, are still a playoff team. But that margin for error is getting razor thin by the game. We'll give you the latest next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Just inside the left hash to win the game. Pepper snap. Michnowski has it down. Robbie Gould has it straight ahead. And good! The 49ers have beaten the L.A. Rams again. Twice this year. Twice last year.
Sweep them up, baby.
Yeah, just when you think the Rams are the new team to beat in the NFC, right? They lose to the... Yeah. And they were... Look,
so who is it like, today? Who's it today? Who's the best team in the NFC today?
It's the Saints. I mean, they didn't beat an NFL team yesterday, but it's the Saints, right? It's got to be that.
I don't know.
I mean, the Packers looked great last night in throttling the Bears. The Saints looked good, but I think anybody would have looked good against a team that didn't actually have a quarterback like the Broncos did. The Rams were everybody's darling this time a week ago, and now they're kind of back to square one in terms of their perception. 49ers were winning that game 17-3 at one point. The Rams made a nice little push, but when it was all said and done, you talk about late game clock management. Man, Kyle Shanahan was a maestro yesterday at the end of that game, going for it on a 4th-and-1 where he could have made the decision to kick right there, but he didn't. He went for it, got it. Gave himself an extra set of downs, a chance to move a little bit closer, a chance to kill a little bit more clock. He really managed that game very well at the end as the Niners beat the Rams.
Yeah, you know, he did. And it's important to look at it because he had an opportunity at the end of that game because they were facing a, you know, 4th-and-1 at the Rams 39. So 39, 49, okay, 56-yard field goal. Okay, 56-yard field goal. But there's 35 seconds left. So you miss the ball right there. If you miss that kick, you miss it. Well, then all of a sudden the Rams have the ball close to midfield, and all they need is, and they got a great field goal kick, all they need is 20 yards. You know, in 35 seconds, they need 20 yards. And then they can kick a field goal. So that's smart, right? You don't kick either. 35 seconds left, you don't kick the field goal. You go for it. They did. They went for it. They got the first down run. And then a few plays later, they kicked the field goal. Robbie Gould hits a 42-yarder. So, yep. I mean, you had to go for it on 4th-and-1. It's just smart. One, you don't want to give them the ball at close to midfield. That's one. And two, you want to get closer for your kicker. You don't want him to kick a 56-yarder. You want him to kick something around 42 yards. So, yeah, he played that very well.
We'll probably end up talking a lot more about the Rams tomorrow. Especially with Goff and the turnovers. He's, I think, the second most turnovers in the NFL this year, behind only Carson Wentz. But under Sean McVay, the Rams have never, ever lost to the Cardinals. So that's something that, like I say, we'll probably get into that a lot tomorrow. For now, the playoff picture looks like this. That outcome, the Niners beating the Rams yesterday, helped and hurt the Cardinals at the same time. It helped because it kept the gap between them and the Rams at just one game. LA is 7-4. The Cardinals are 6-5. Cardinals are still a playoff team right now. They're the 7th seed if the season ends today. In fact, Football Outsiders running the simulations saying 59% of the time the Cardinals make the playoffs. ESPN's FPI says it's like 54% the Cardinals make the playoffs. But where it hurt, Gambo, is that now the 49ers are just one game back of the Cardinals for that 7th spot. And the Vikings, in beating the Panthers yesterday when Joey Sly's game-winning kick went wide left.
Oh, my God. By about 25 feet.
Well, that was
a duck he hit.
That was a crazy ending to that game, but by Minnesota winning that game. They're just a game back of the Cardinals for the final playoff spot. Three teams, in fact, are all sitting at 5-6. The Vikings, the Bears, and the Niners. And they're all just one game back of the 6-5 Arizona Cardinals for the last playoff spot.
I looked at Minnesota's schedule.
Okay.
Okay, there's good news and bad news. Okay, so that Minnesota, they play Jacksonville. So that's a win. Then they play at Tampa Bay. tougher game. Tampa Bay's fighting for their playoff lives. Tougher game. Then they play Chicago. That should be a win. Then they play at New Orleans. Will New Orleans have anything to play for on Christmas Day? That's that Friday, December 25th game. And then they finish on the road at Detroit, which just fired everybody, you know, in their GM, their head coach. So who knows? Maybe those guys at that last game of the season, they're on vacation, the Lions. I don't know. So that's their schedule. Jacksonville, Tampa, Chicago, New Orleans, and Detroit. The two tough games you would figure on the road at Tampa and on the road at New Orleans.
Yeah, those are the and then, of course, the Niners, they still have a game against the Arizona Cardinals. They just found out the Arizona Cardinals Stadium will be their home for their next two home games, including a week from tonight against the Bills. The Seahawks, by the way, reason we haven't mentioned them, Sarah just mentioned it in the Sports Center update a second ago, they play tonight on Monday Night Football. They play Philly. If they win, they will remain atop the NFC West. They'll actually move up to number two in the NFC. Right now it's the Packers who are number two. The Eagles, if they win, they can switch spots with the Giants. Right now the Giants are the 4 seed at 4-7 because of their 3-game win streak. I know, it's crazy, right? 4-7 and you're the 4-7 in the NFC. It's nuts.
It is so funny. So if the Philly wins, they're 4-6-1, so they move ahead of them by a half game, yeah.
Yes. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So those are all the
Where
things.
Where is that game tonight? Is that in Philly or Seattle?
I believe that game.
It's in Philly, and it's been raining all day.
Man, that's okay. You know. Nah, you can't pick Philly. You just can't. You can't pick Philly. They need a new quarterback.
No, you can't. But look, we've seen the Seahawks, right? We saw them a week and a half ago. They weren't anything special against the Cardinals on that Thursday night.
No, they're not.
They were very beatable on that Thursday night. There wasn't anything there that wowed you, that blew your socks off.
Philly's wins are over Dallas, the Giants, and the 49ers. That's their wins. They've lost to Washington. They tied Cincinnati. They did lose by 2 to Baltimore, and they lost by 9 to Pittsburgh. All right. Lost by 10 to the Giants, lost by 5 to Cleveland. I mean, if the weather's a factor, you just never know. And it is 2020, yeah. So who the hell knows? I mean, maybe, you know, you just don't know. I mean, I would think normally I would just think that Seattle's going to smoke them, but maybe not.
But it's 2020. And then factor this in, too, when you start thinking about the Cardinals and their playoff chances. They've got a game against the New York Giants coming up in a couple of weeks. The New York Giants might be starting Colt McCoy in that game as their quarterback. Apparently, Daniel Jones, and I said nothing but highlights, but I guess his hamstring injury that he suffered yesterday against the Bengals, according to a source to ESPN, is pretty bad. Those are the words that were used. He's going to miss this week's game against Seattle, and it's actually the first of 4 straight games the Giants play against teams with winning records. The Cardinals are included into that bunch. So Daniel Jones, and not that Daniel Jones has been great, but he's a better option than Colt McCoy is moving forward. They might not have Daniel Jones for their game against the Cardinals, depending on how bad that hamstring injury is for him. That's something else to keep an eye on.
So Patrick Peterson promised us 5 more interceptions. He's still stuck on that one. That was the game where he could have got a couple because Daniel Jones loves throwing the ball at the other team. But yeah. they said that he avoided a major hamstring injury. But there's a lot of questions and they just don't know. So I would think, you know, with him or without him, you got to win that game. Phil Simms could come out of retirement and play. You have to win that Giant game. Can't lose to the Giants. They're 4-7. Like, you got to win that football game.
You have to win that football game. It is non-negotiable for the Cardinals to win that football game. But first, it's the Rams. And like I said, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I'll just tell you right now. Kent Summers did the numbers. I just took a screenshot of the tweet this morning.
Yeah, the Rams
Sean
have
McVay
their ass.
Oh, my God. Sean McVay is 6-0 against the Cardinals.
And blown them out every game but one.
Yep, the Rams have scored at least 31 points in all 6 games they've played. Their average margin of victory under Sean McVay, 23 points per game. Oh boy!
Wow.
oh boy!
Yeah, you know what a loss. You know what a loss does. You're a 500 team with a loss next week.
Yep.
Yes, 500. You are 5-2, and now you're going to be 6-6. That's not good. If you lose that game, now you know again. I mean, at some point, you know they're going to beat the Rams. At some point, they are going to beat the Rams. This isn't a good Rams team. They just lost to the 49ers. You know, and I, you know, hopefully the Cardinals will get back to playing Cardinal football.
Hopefully. Some questions are being raised about both the Cardinals quarterback and the Cardinals kicker. What is next for Kyler Murray and Zane Gonzalez? We'll tell you coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Has anything changed in terms of your confidence, the organization's confidence in Zane Gonzalez?
It hasn't. Like I said last night, he's been really good for us. Zane knows he's got to make those kicks when they arise, and we believe he will moving forward.
That was head coach Cliff Kingsbury on with Bickley and Murata. Vince Murata, the one asking the question earlier today here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, flagship home of the Arizona Cardinals and the home of the weekly Cliff Kingsbury interview. Two players, specifically Gambo, that have, I think, come into the most question after yesterday's really disappointing loss to the New England Patriots. I mean, really disappointing loss. The two players in particular are Zane Gonzalez and Kyler Murray, and sort of what's next for both of them at this point. Let's start with Zane.
They're married to Kyler. Like,
I'm not suggesting Kyler's going anywhere. I'm just saying clearly there has to be something has to change with Kyler for this team to have success offensively, because the last couple games just aren't going to cut it. I'm not suggesting he's gone or he's not the franchise guy or anything, but with Zane it's a different story. It's Monday. The Monday is now over, basically. Zane Gonzalez is still a member of the Arizona Cardinals. I do wonder, and I'm sure Zane wonders too, as every day passes, will he continue to be employed by the Arizona Cardinals as this week goes on?
You know, is there anything better out there? It's, you know, I think you got to make a change just because, you know, I mean, he's missed too many big kicks. Like, I got to try something else. I mean, I got to try it. I mean, I can't not try. But there's just not, you know, there's not a lot out there. Hauschka, Vogel, Tavecchio. I mean, all of those guys have been cut. Sloman was cut by the Rams. So there's not you do have Nugent, you know, yep, on your practice squad. And I would probably go that route. I mean, once, okay, twice. But this is three times. I mean, he came up short on a 49-yarder. He missed a 41-yarder, then got a reprieve because Cliff called a timeout. And then he misses a 45-yarder here. He's in the bottom, you know, 25% of kickers in the NFL when it comes to kicks of 40 to 49 yards. Now, again, we're not asking him to make, you know, 55-yard field goals here. But anything inside of 40 yards, I mean, you know, inside of 50, you got to make the majority of those. And he has missed some really big kicks from 40 to 49 yards.
Yeah. Over the course of his career, and I just pulled it up now, over the course of his career, he has made from 40 to 49 yards 19 out of 30 kicks from 40 to 49 yards. That equates to about a 63% conversion rate. That is not going to cut it in today's NFL.
Yeah,
not
and I just did Nugent. I just did Mike Nugent. He's about 75%. On kicks 40 to 49 yards. He is, in his career, he's 77 out of 103 kicks 40 to 49 yards. So he's attempted 103, he's made 77. You know, 2019 with the Jets, he only had one attempt. 2018, two attempts. So it's not like he's had a lot of attempts. He's getting a little bit older, but he's been pretty consistent from 40 to 49 yards at about a 75% clip. If you want to go that route, you could. He's 38 years old. I don't think the pressure is going to get to him. And you could make that choice. If you feel like he's a better option than Zane, you got to make that choice.
Well, especially if your lack of trust in Zane, which Cliff Kingsbury doesn't say he has, but I think you have to assume somewhere there is some hesitancy about using him the next time. If that calls you, if that causes you to call a different play that you would normally call, to run an offense differently than you would because you don't have trust in your kicker, then you have to make a change. You brought that up earlier. You can't, you know, even if you say you've got faith in the guy, if you don't have faith in the guy, that's going to cause you to call a game and make decisions differently than you otherwise would have. And the minute that happens, you have to make a change. You have to make a change.
You go to your GM and you say, hey, listen, we line up, we're end of the game, and we're 4th-and-2, and I could get a 47-yarder for the win. I'm probably going to go for it because I don't trust them to hit from 47. Okay, I get your new kicker. I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Right.
You know? I mean, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to say. Do you, with the game on the line and it's 4th-and-2, would you try a 47-yard field goal or would you go for it to try to get him closer because you don't trust him from 47 yards?
Yeah. Especially when you look around the league and every kicker in 2020, man, at most they've missed a kick or two from 40 to 49 yards, not four. Like Zane Gonzalez has. I mean, there are a couple of guys who have missed 4 or 5, but for the most part, everybody's basically batting 1,000 from 40 to 49 yards. Maybe they've missed one, maybe they've missed two. No, you know, very few have missed 4 kicks between 40 and 49 yards. And then there's the Kyler Murray question. And the Kyler Murray question is less a question of, obviously, his future employment. I mean, no one's talking about that. But Kyler Murray's ability to run the football is, and I think nothing highlights that more than if you look at his rushing attempts over the last several games, especially when the Cardinals were really rolling offensively. Over the previous 5 games before the last 2, Kyler Murray's rushing attempts, 9 against the Jets, 10 against the Cowboys, 14 against Seattle, 11 against Miami, 11 against the Bills. The last 2 weeks, he's had 5 carries against Seattle, 5 carries against New England. Either they're scheming it against him, or he's hurt, and he and Cliff are holding something back. Either way, it's very obvious this offense is not the same without Kyler Murray running the
Listen,
football.
If he's hurt, we're not going to hear about it till the end of the season, because they're not going to tip any of these other teams off, okay? So, it could be. I mean, because again, we're not going to know. Because they're not going to let on. I don't understand why he's not running. I would think that it could be 2 things. One, you know, maybe he is a little banged up and they don't want him to run. But he did run 5 times and he did slide yesterday 2 yards shy of the first down, which I have no problem with. The other thing is, you know, you went up against 2 really good defensive minds, you know, the best ever in Bill Belichick and a really good one in Pete Carroll. And maybe they did have the right schemes to shut him down. Now, if that's going to happen, yeah, you've got to find ways. You got DeAndre Hopkins. If they're going to take the run away from you, beat them with DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins is very capable of 10 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, let him do it. Let him help you. Because that's what Kyler hasn't shown yet. You got to show the ability to win games, not against the Jets, but you need to show the ability to win games against a good football team when that football team takes away your ability to run the football.
Yeah, those last 2 games I was talking about where he had 5 carries and then 5 carries again, the Cardinals as a team averaged 19 points per game, 306 yards per game. The previous 5, when they were 4-1 and rolling, they were averaging over 33 points per game and over 470 yards per game. It's time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight, the games that we are going to watch this evening. Brought to you by your friends at Coors Light. Enjoy game day specials, valley-wide at cold beers and cheeseburgers every Saturday. Both proud sponsors of ASU football. Go Devils. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles. A game with NFC playoff implications all around, Gambo.
I'll watch that one just to see if Philly could put up a little bit of a fight here. They are fighting. They win this game, they're in first place. No matter how bad they are, if they win this game, they're in first place and in a playoff position.
Yep. Luke Lipinski is next with the rundown. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.